Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
It's so good being here with you guys. The last several times it's been from up here with a guitar strapped to the front of me. I'm glad to be able to come here and just share some from the Word today. Start off by just praying. Father, I thank you so much for your amazing, amazing love for us. I thank you so much for just the relentless pursuit you have made towards each of us. Father, I pray that this morning as we look at the stories that are going to be shared today, and as we look at and see your character, that we would see ourselves the way that you see us. Father, I pray that we would be able to hear clearly from you and your heart towards us. We just give you this time and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start off by sharing a little story. This weekend, or last week was Karis, my oldest's birthday. And, oh, my wife's reminding me that I have my mask strapped to my arm. Apologies if that's distracting. So last week was our oldest's 12th birthday, and over the weekend, or on Friday, they had a half day of school, so that day we did her birthday party with some of her friends. And so one of the things she wanted to do was go play paintball. Okay, so there's a picture right here of the five of them playing paintball. They look pretty bad to the bone, right? Look pretty killer. Okay, well, At first we played capture the flag 3-on-3, so two of them were on my team, and believe it or not, we won capture the flag. But then we played a 5-against-1 thing, so it was the five of them trying to shoot me, and it was pretty comical. They just got up in these little sniper's nests, and were just, all you could see was like this part of their faces, like that was it. They were so scared. And so I was like just shooting, and then got to the point where I wasn't even hiding behind the, you know, those barrels anymore. I was just walking, standing right out there like, shoot me, you know. I think I shared about Rambo maybe the last time I was here. It was a little bit of that action. But then, you know, this was my way to say happy birthday to my daughter, if you can show that next picture. I shot her twice in the head and once in the eyeball. And I didn't know that. I didn't know who any of them were as they were back there. Rhonda was videoing this, and as we were watching the video, we saw her coming out. Like, she was like, I can't see, because, I mean, it's safe. Everybody, it's safe. It's just little paintball pellets that explode on impact. But because it hit right on her mask, she just couldn't see anything. And when I saw this, I started laughing, and then I was like, happy birthday. So that was a lot of fun, and it's actually, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of a relation between what we're going to share today about children being sacrificed and then what took place here. That's a bad little segue, but there was no ill intentions here with this. But she did have a lot of fun, and her friends had a lot of fun playing paintball, so that was good. All right, so 2014... Liliana, our littlest, was born. She's the, you know, the firecracker that we have with the curly hair. She was born, and the day that I came back to my well-paying job in the corporate world, I gave them my notice telling them that I was no longer going to be working there. And when they asked why, I shared, you know, at first they thought I was going to go to a rival, a competitor or something like that, and I shared with them the Lord's called my family and I to Taiwan. We've known for a long time that this would happen. The time has come, so I'm leaving. And I still remember to this day all of the conversations that took place. I ended up giving them like a month to help them try to transition and to leave well. But I still remember all the conversations with managers, with the controller, with even the vice president, like coming to my office or inviting me into their offices saying, are you sure? Now, you just had your third daughter. Right? Yes. You don't have a job? No. You don't have a company that's going to be paying you? Nope. Are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm absolutely sure. And everybody was like, well, good luck. Are you sure we can't convince you to stay somehow? And, you know, they were willing to offer me more money and different position and all this stuff. But I was like, I just knew and had known for a long time this is what the Lord was calling us to do. So there wasn't a doubt in my mind, and I knew that I was moving in that right direction. So I left WabTech in January of 2015, and about a month after Liliana was born, and I started raising financial support for our family to come here to Taiwan, which, to be honest, is something I never wanted to do. It wasn't an easy process to begin with. It's still not easy, if I'm being honest. But I thought, you know, at the time, this is what the Lord's called us to, so this should be this will be pretty easy. You know, like, if the Lord's calling us to this, then people are going to be like, yeah, I want to help, I want to support, and and man, it was not that way at all, at all. It was pretty difficult. And so as the days quickly moved by, we were praying and we were asking ourselves, like, when is it that we're supposed to move? So we started praying. Some friends of ours were praying with us. And we all felt like January of 2016 was when we were supposed to move, pretty much exactly a year after I left the corporate world. And so we started making those plans. I remember when we purchased our plane tickets, I think we were about 40 to 50% of our support raised of what we needed monthly commitments coming in. And the closer we got to that date, the more I started thinking, what is this feeling I'm feeling? I'm starting to get concerned. I'm starting to worry a little bit. And Rhonda, my wife, can attest, it takes a lot to frazzle me. It takes a lot to get me frustrated, flustered, concerned. But as we were getting closer, I started getting, like, on paper, I was starting to question a little bit, like, all right, Lord, I know this is what you said, or I'm pretty confident this is what you said. I don't see it. I don't see it on paper. On paper, it wasn't working. And a lot of people were questioning it. I even went to this training thing, and they were like, wait, you have how much raised? And you're leaving when? Never going to happen. Never going to happen. And I was like, nope, this is what the Lord said. And so, so I started praying, and I started taking that to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, I know what you said. I know you've called us to Taiwan, but how? How? And every time I would start praying this, has anybody seen the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? I mean, this is an old movie, so there might be some of you youngsters here, just like Rambo, that were like, what? That don't know what I'm talking about. But Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Harrison Ford, Sean Connery, is a great movie from the early 90s, maybe. Thank you. We have one who's a fan, a true fan. Thank you over there. So this movie kept coming into my mind every time I was praying. And I was thinking to myself, what? And I'm a pretty focused prayer, right? And so I kept thinking to myself, why do I keep thinking of that movie? And so I would just like, fine. And so I would just stop, and I'd be like, fine, I'll come back to that later, Lord, and keep going. And then I'd pray about it again, and this movie would come to my mind again. And I was like, I can't focus. And then, being as bright as I am, after three or four times of this, I decided that I was going to let that movie just go ahead and play out in my head. But I'm going to stop right there for a second. So our story today, well, and one other thing, the plan of moving here, just so you have an idea, Liliana was going to be 13 months old when we were planning on moving. Karis was about to be 7, and Maylee was about to be 5. That can be difficult. It reminds me of the comedian Jim Gaffigan. He says one time where he's like, we just had a baby, and everybody claps, and then he was like, for the fourth time, and then it's like a little silence. And then he's like, yeah, I don't get as much applause at that one. And then as he's saying, he's like, a lot of people ask me, what's it like to have a fourth child? And he said, well, pretend you're in the water and you're drowning, and somebody comes over to you and they hand you another baby. And to be honest, moving across the world with three little ones can be very similar kind of experience. So that was our reality. That's where we were. And God bless them. I love them. They've done amazing. They did amazing in the transition since we've been here. But so the story we're going to look at today is one of the most difficult stories in scriptures, to be honest. It's been difficult for the Jews, for the Israelites throughout the centuries, and it's a difficult one as well for us to consider today, but I'm really excited for us to look at it. We're going to start in Genesis 22. The verses will be up here as I read. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. So Abraham rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. I'm going to pause for just a second. Isaac didn't know what was going on. All he knew is that they were going to worship. Abraham didn't let him in on the fact that God told me to sacrifice you. He's carrying the wood to his own, to his own death, to his own sacrificial funeral, if you will. But Abraham says, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there. He arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So, as I was sharing earlier, every time I would pray about that move to Taiwan and about our financial situation at the time, specifically the lack of finances, my mind would start thinking about that movie. So I'm going to play the clip for you real quick, or Issa's going to play the clip for you real quick that I kept starting in my mind that I wasn't finishing, and then I decided, okay, let's just see how this plays out. So as she's getting it queued up, I'm going to give you a little background. So for those that haven't seen it, which is most of you, so they're going and they're trying to find the Holy Grail, the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper, and it's a, even though it incorporates spiritual things, it's not by any stretch of the imagination a spiritual movie, but it's a fun action movie, right? And so they're going to try to find this, and his dad gets shot, and he's about to die, and they're like, the cup will save him, is what their thought is. And so there's all these things that he has to get through, all these booby traps in this tunnel, and they've got these like Nazi guards standing there, you know, with the gun over his dad and telling him, you got to get this and give it to us and da, da, da. So he gets there and he gets through all of these booby traps. He almost dies several times along the way. And then he gets to this one place where there's this huge cavern. And it's a huge cavern, and you'll see it here in a second. And whenever he gets there, what it says in the book that he's supposed to do is, it says only a leap from the lion's mouth will a man prove his worth. And so that's where we are. If Issa, you can go ahead and play it.
You must hurry! Come quickly!
It's a leap of faith.
Right. You must believe, boy. You must believe.
Thank you.
All right, so let's continue reading. Genesis 22, verse 11. See what happens next. So Abraham has stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. The last time I was here, or maybe two times ago, I had a big machete. Thought about bringing something again, but then I was like, eh. I don't want people to feel threatened whenever I come. So I'm really a nice guy. So Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, Yahweh Hira, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Man, if you really think about the weight of that story and what was taking place, it is heavy. It is heavy. A lot of questions can run through my mind as I've read this over the years, like, well, why would a loving God do that? Why would he put Abraham through this? Why would he put Isaac through this? If Isaac's the one who's supposed to be, you know, the one who blessed, why would he want to do that in God's name when God put him, had him tied up on an altar, you know, laid there ready to get slaughtered? You know, like, there's all kinds of things that can run through your mind with that. Man, if it was me, if I was Abraham in that place, you know, I just shared with you a lot about, I was, you know, having these conversations with God about the move, like, are you sure? Are you sure it's January? Are you sure that this is going to take place? Like, Abraham got up early the next morning. He went and got the wood, got the servants, got Isaac, said, let's go. A 3-day hike to get to where they were going. All they knew was that we're going to worship the Lord. That was all they knew. They didn't realize that one of the most intense situations that we've ever seen in history was about to take place. So there in verse 14, and that's the focus, this Jehovah Jireh, what we're talking about, the Lord provides. Says there in verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. In Hebrew, it says Yahweh Hira. Do we have that slide? Oh, real quick. So, sorry, I missed that last one. Sorry, go back. So we're looking at what's going on, or I just asked what's going on through Abraham's head right now, right? And what I would do and what we would probably, the thoughts that were probably going on through our minds. But if we look at Scripture, if we look at that story, and then we look at Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. We got that here? Okay, that's okay. Hebrews 11, there we go. By faith, it tells us what was going on through Abraham's mind. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And the one who had received the promises was offering up his only son. It was he to whom it was said, through Isaac your descendants shall be named. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. What that's saying is that Abraham, and what we see in this story, even though it's hard to comprehend, is that Abraham, and he even said it to his son, God's going to provide the lamb. He knew what he was going to do, but he also knew that God would come through. God's going to provide the lamb. He said to the servants that went with him, we're going to go worship. Me and the boy are going to be back to you after we get through worshiping, right? It's so crazy to think about. He knew what was about to take place, but he was so confident in what God had promised him that he said, it says right here, he was willing to follow through with it. He took Isaac to offer him up as a sacrifice, but he considered, he was convinced that God is able to raise people even from the dead. Come on. That's some good stuff. That's before there had been Jesus walking on the earth. That's before there had been any resurrections from the dead. He just knew the promise. It's so good. So we look at verse 14. The Lord will provide, as it is said, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. When you're with the Lord, he will provide. He's going to provide. It may not look like we want it to. It almost certainly never comes as quickly as we want it to. I can promise you that. The Lord is way slower a lot of times than we are. Way slower. But he's good. And he is provider. So that word Jireh, the Most High, that Yahweh Hira, it means, it literally translates, the Most High provides. But here's a cool thing. Kevin shared last week about Jehovah Elroy. Yes. God sees, the God who sees, right? What's neat about that word Roy and that word Hira, they both come from the same root word, Rah, which means sees. In both instances, with Hagar and her son, and with Abraham and Isaac, both of their confessions were, he sees. It's not he sees and he knows just that he sees and he knows what's going on. But he sees and he's got provision ready. He is already ready with the provision. He sees you right where you are, no matter what you're going through. No matter what's going on in your life right now, he sees where you are and he already has the provision for you. Amen? Come on. He already has it ready. We have to sacrifice. Let's go to the next slide real quick. Okay. Yeah, that's what I just said. All right. So, you know, in our own lives right now, we have to sacrifice in other ways, right? Like for those of us that are parents, to be honest, Rhonda and I, we sacrificed our daughters. And what I mean by that is we gave them to the Lord when they were born. Like, we're, in all honesty, we're just stewards of their lives. They are the Lord's. They are God's. He's their creator. It wasn't us. He's theirs. And so we sacrificed. We committed them to the Lord at birth. And that can be a tough thing to do. When we chose to move over here to Taiwan, me back in 1999, when it first took place, it was difficult for my parents to let go and to sacrifice to offer me up to do that. For my dad, it took a long time for him to be, like, until just a handful of years ago, for him to be okay with it. Bertina's dad, sacrificing her and giving her up to come here. There's so many people, when we have children that we love so much, to give them away, it's still a sacrifice. And there's other things that we have to trust the Lord with as well. Sometimes it's our job. Sometimes it's our income. Sometimes it's relationships or comfort that we have to sacrifice that the Lord asks us to offer up to him. I was on a call just a couple days ago with an Indian friend of mine, a guy who lives and ministers in India, and he is Indian. His wife's from the States. And as we were talking, he was sharing with me about how just since the beginning of the year, they've seen these people that he's been discipling, that have been training, they've seen 1,000 people give their lives to Jesus. Amen? 1,000 people give their lives to Jesus. At the same time, several of these people that he's been discipling and that have been the ones leading these people to Jesus have been imprisoned for their faith. They've been imprisoned for giving these people the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus. And they're sitting in prison right now. And so when I asked, how can we be praying for them? How can I be praying for these guys? He said, well, I asked them that question already. And here's what they said. They didn't pray for their release, that they would be released. They prayed for the safety of their families, for their wife and children. And they asked us to pray for open ears and hearts for them to be able to minister with all the other several thousand criminals in that detention center. That's amazing. That's living a life of sacrifice, of offering to the Lord, and trusting him to be the provision. So good. Philippians 4:19, just like we've been talking about, Paul writes, he says, "My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, Abraham, he knew God and his character. He knew his promises so much, like we just talked about, that he truly believed that God would come through, even if it meant he would have to raise Isaac from the dead. Even if it meant he actually had to kill his son, he knew that the Lord had to bring him back, because the Lord had promised on several occasions what he was going to do. So he knew, this isn't on me, God, this is on you. He knew that the Lord had to do it because of the promise that he'd made. He wasn't, and I'm not saying he wasn't leading God around by the, collar, by a leash, going, you got to do what, you know. He was being, living obedient to what the Lord said. He wasn't confronting God and, you know, getting up in his face about it. He was simply being obedient to what it was that God had told him to do. And he knew that God would have to honor his word. So let's look real quickly at Abraham's story. I know that Kevin went over this the other day, but so Abraham was about 75 years old whenever the Lord called him out of his father's house and out of the country that he had been living in. 75 years old. He had lived 75 years of his life not knowing God. Okay? Then all of a sudden, Yahweh, God, speaks to him and says, I want you to move to a land I'm going to show you. Again, it was this faith walk. I'm going to take you to this place. I'll show you when you get there. He had no clue how long he was going to be traveling. I'll show you when you get there. And so Abraham obeyed. And also during that time, he said, I'm going to make of you and your descendants a great nation. He made a promise to him right then as he left. Abraham had zero history with God, had zero history with Yahweh to this point. As the song that we were just singing earlier, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Abraham wasn't seeking for God back then. God went to him. God found him and said, this is what I'm going to do for you. And Abraham obeyed. Abraham followed. Abraham walked. Now, Abraham wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. So if there's any consolation to us in here, if the Lord can use Abraham to make him the father of many nations, then you've got a fighting chance. Because you're going to see some messed up stuff here in just a second of how Abraham lived his life. If he can use Abraham, then he can absolutely use you. If he can use me, he can absolutely use you. Amen? So we see next, he was 75 years old. As he starts moving there, he sees that the Egyptian king, Sarai, her name was Sarai at the time, she's like 74 years old. Maybe it's a little, even a few years have passed as they're moving. The king of Egypt sees her and is like, yeah, I like her. And so Abraham's like, oh my gosh. All right, tell everybody that you're my sister so that I don't get killed because of you. The Lord made him a promise, right? But he's still scared about what's going on around. So tell everybody. So Sarai gets taken to become an Egyptian concubine. The Egyptian king doesn't have relations with her or anything like that. He finds out very quickly. So he's released. Abraham is a big uh-oh, right? Like, that's not being a good husband. Offering your wife, this is my sister, go ahead, do what you want with her. That no good. For any future marrieds out there, I highly, highly recommend you do not do that. So then he gets promised by the Lord again. The Lord gives him another promise. Then Sarai is like, man, this has taken so long. Maybe it's not from me. Maybe, okay, take Hagar. Y'all talked about this last week. I'll give you a hall pass. Go with Hagar. maybe she'll have a son for me. And then you heard that story last week. That was not good. Another, don't do that. So Abraham messes up again. He has a son. He's promised again. And this time when he's promised, his identity has changed. He goes from being Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Sarai goes from Sarai to Sarah, which means princess. Their identities change this next time the promise comes. The promise comes and it even affects who they are and the change that they have. So now the promise, and they've come and they said this, the Lord said, this time next year, Sarah's going to give birth and you're going to have a son. From that point until that point, another king, King Abimelech, comes and he's like, Sarah is 98 years old at the time. He's like, 98 years old. She can still catch somebody's eye. He's like, all right, I want her too. And Abraham's like, cool, she's my sister. Do whatever. He's been promised several times at this point. His name's changed. All this has taken place. And he's still screwing up. He's still like, take her, please. The guy is messed up, right? And then Abimelech, all the stuff, bad stuff happens to him immediately. And he's like, why'd you lie to me, man? He's like, my whole kingdom is going to get destroyed because of your wife. And it's your fault. You lied to me. But then sure enough, Isaac comes. God proved faithful over and over and over and over and over again. Despite the people pitted against him, despite his own failures, God was faithful. Amen. God was faithful. That song that we sang earlier, all my life you have been faithful. Man, that is so, that hits me just deep down in my guts, you know? Like deep down in my guts. When I think about who the Lord is, it's his faithfulness. His faithfulness over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. His faithfulness. His goodness, it's running after us. It's running after me. It's running after you. He wants you. He wants you to know him as the one who sees you right where you are. He wants you to know him as the one who has everything you need. Everything you need. The Father taught me during my own time from that story I was sharing earlier that the best way to me be a provider, see, because one of the biggest problems that I had was with all of this was I knew that I was supposed to be a provider for my wife and for my kids, right? As the husband, that's my job. But I realized, and the Lord taught me during that time, the best way for me to provide is to follow him and trust him as my provider. The best way for me to provide and lead is to follow him as my leader and to trust him to be my provider. To step into the things that he tells me to step into, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's difficult, to step into that. See, he spoke to me about Taiwan back in 99. He brought me here so I could learn the language, meet and disciple people back then that I still have relationships with. Mark here, my best friend for now 16 years, something, 15 years. Continue to reveal and show the plans and show me what I would be a part of here. He helped carry Rhonda, my wife, through an autoimmune disease. He helped carry me through cancer. He has been so faithful, and he's provided over and over and over and over and over again. He gave me a love for and a desire for his word, to see his promises, to see who I am, to see who he is, to see the goodness in his heart for me. He just showed this over and over and over and over again, just like we saw in that video clip with Indiana Jones. Had to believe. It says in the Bible that in earlier that Abraham in Genesis, I can't remember exactly what passage, 14 maybe, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Indiana Jones, we saw in that clip, he believed and he stepped out even though from his perspective nothing was there. From his perspective nothing was there. But once he hit, he realized what he needed was there all along. But there was no way he was going to experience it until he took the step, right? He could not experience it until he took the step. The same was true for me and us. The Lord's proved faithful and faithful and faithful to us. And he's been providing and he's made a way. But it doesn't happen unless we take the step. And it's the same thing for us. So where are you being stretched? Going through situations like this, it stretches our capacity to trust. It grows us. It grows our influence. It hardens us. It makes us less when the wind blows or when difficulties come, it makes us less affected by those because we're anchored on the Lord's promises. So where is it in your life right now that you're being stretched? It could be with your job. It could be with relationships. It could be financially. It could be spiritually. It could be spiritually where you're just like, there's got to be something else. I've got to be here for more than just trying to get by. Where is it that you're being stretched? Where do you need to trust him as your provider? I'd encourage you this week, today even, to stop and ask him here in a moment when the team comes back up, to stop and ask him where the places are where you aren't trusting him as provider. Take some time, sit down, look at, some of you may have had promises that the Lord gave you 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago that you feel like maybe he forgot and you've even forgotten yourself and you've kind of put them aside. I would encourage you to think back on those, take them off the shelf, blow the dust off, and be reminded of yourself of what it is the Lord's promised you, right? There's some things that we're not walking in because we put them aside. Take it back out and believe. Take it back out and do what it takes to faith into it. Because he's already got the provision. If he promised, he'll provide. Don't believe the lie any longer that they're not for you. For whatever reason that is, or for whatever something you've done, or because you're not good enough or whatever. Don't believe those lies. That's what the enemy does to try to take us off track and get us distracted. He's a liar. God's the one that's faithful. Let's look at him. So the Lord provided a ram to be sacrificed in place of Isaac, who was a type of Jesus. This story is a foreshadowing of the Father's love for his son, who he did sacrifice. God, the Father's love for his son, who he did sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus is the ultimate lamb, the penultimate provision, the ultimate provision. Money, job, relationships, all this stuff is temporary. Jesus is forever. And it's not just, he even promises, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, most everybody knows this verse. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, would not be separated, but would have eternal life. Eternal life is not just when we die, we go to heaven. It's not a length of time. It's not just a length of time. Jesus defines it in John 17. He's praying and he says, this is eternal life, as he's praying to the Father, that they would know you and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. That's eternal life. It's a relationship that can begin today. Even if you might already be in Christ, you might have already given your life to Jesus, you might have already prayed the prayer and recognized and associated as being a Christian, but you might not, it might have just been a decision like, okay, true, false, true, say the prayer, but you don't have that relationship. And what I want to encourage you with today is that you can have that relationship today. You don't have to just get by. I've talked about this before. One of the songs I hate most in the Christian world is that, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. It just teaches that whole, like, whatever I can to just make it across the finish line thing, right? It's like, I'm just going to just make it through, brother, and try to get to the finish line and then glory. Well, no, that's not what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to experience relationship and life with him now. Jesus is the provision for that. To know why you're created, how special you are, how important you are. Now, today can be that day. Today can be that day because of Jesus. If you're here today, you don't yet have that relationship with the Most High, who we call Father. You don't have the relationship with Jesus. Today can be that day. There's going to be people up here. I'm going to be over here. There's going to be a couple of other people up here that can talk to you about that, that can pray with you about it. And I'll close with this as the worship team comes up. And let's roll with that. All my life, you have been faithful. Whether you've already given your life to Jesus or not, I want you to know today, if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear that you're seen by your Creator. And you're not just seen, you're known by your Creator. And the amazing news is that even though He sees you and He knows you, He still loves you so much that He's got the provision. He already provided the provision through Jesus that He wants to give to you. He wants you to receive, to step into relationship with Him. Amen. Father, thank you so much for just your word for us this morning, that you are one who sees, that you're one who knows, that you're one who is near, and that you're one, the one who has provided everything. You've provided for all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We give you praise for that, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. Father, I pray that for every person in this room, myself included, that we would continue to grow in that knowledge, that we would continue to grow in that belief, that our faith would get stronger, that grit would increase, that we would be more and more steadfast on that truth that you are provider, that you are faithful. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.